You got liars protecting liars.
Harry Rex growled as he paced around my office an hour later.
Lucian tells the truth only when it sounds good, which for him and his clientele is not very often. The Pagets have no concept of what the truth really is.
Remember Lydia Vince? I asked.
Who?
The slut at the trial, the one Wilbanks put on the stand under oath. She told the jury Danny was in her bed when Rhoda was murdered. The Pagets found her, bought her testimony, and handed her to Lucian. They're all a bunch of lying thieves.
Then her ex got shot, right?
Just after the trial. Probably got hit by one of the Paget goons. No evidence other than the bullets. No suspects, nothing. Sounds familiar.
McNatt didn't buy anything Lucian said. Neither did Buckley.
And you?
No. I've seen Lucian cry before in front of juries. He can be very persuasive at times. Not often, but occasionally. I got the impression he was working way too hard to convince us. It's Danny, and he's got some help.
Does McNatt believe that?
Yep, but he has no proof. An arrest is a waste of time.
It'll keep him off the streets.
It's temporary. With no proof, you can't keep him in jail forever. He's patient. He's been waiting for 9 years.
Though the pranksters were never identified, and they had enough sense to take their secret to their graves, there was considerable speculation in the months that followed that they were the two teenage sons of our mayor. Two youngsters were seen sprinting away from the scene, much too fast to be caught. The mayor's boys had a long and colorful track record as creative and brazen jokesters. Under the cover of darkness, they boldly sneaked through a thick hedgerow and came to a stop less than 50 feet from the corner of the front porch of Mr. Earl Urey's house. There they watched and listened to the crowd of friends and neighbors camped out on the front lawn protecting Mr. Urey. They waited patiently for just the right moment to launch their attack. A few minutes after 11, a long strand of 84 Black Cat firecrackers was tossed in the general direction of the porch, and when they began popping, Clanton almost erupted into an all-out war. Men yelled, ladies screamed. Mr. Urey hit the planks and scurried into his house on all fours. His sentries out front rolled over in their lawn chairs, clawed around for their guns, and hid low in the grass as the Black Cats bounced and popped in a smoky frenzy. It took 30 seconds for all 84 to finish exploding, and during that time, a dozen heavily armed men were darting behind trees, pointing their guns in every direction, ready to shoot anything that moved. A part-time deputy named Travis was jolted from his sleep on the hood of his patrol car. He yanked out his .44 Magnum and dashed low and hard in the general direction of the Black Cats. Armed neighbors were scampering everywhere in Mr. Urey's front yard. For some reason, and neither Travis nor his supervisor ever revealed the official explanation, if in fact there was one, he fired a shot into the air, a very loud shot, a shot heard well above the firecrackers. It caused another itchy finger, someone who never admitted to pulling the trigger, to unload a 12-gauge shotgun shell into the trees. No doubt many others would have commenced firing, and who knows how many might have been slaughtered had not the other part-time deputy, Jimmy, screamed loudly, "Hold your fire, you idiots!" At which point the gunfire ceased immediately, but the Black Cats had a few rounds left. When the last one popped, the entire gang of vigilantes walked over to the smoldering patch of grass and inspected things. Word spread that it was just fireworks. Mr. Earl Urey peeked through the front door and eventually eased outside. Down the street, Mrs. Alice Wood heard the assault and was running to the rear of her house to lock the door when the two youngsters blew by her back entrance, sprinting and laughing furiously. She would report that they were about 15 and white. A mile away in Lowtown, I had just walked down the steps of Miss Callie's front porch when I heard the distant explosions. The late shift, Sam, Leon, and two deacons, jumped to their feet and gazed into the distance. The .44 sounded like a howitzer. We waited and waited, And when all was still again, Leon said, "Sounds like firecrackers." Sam had sneaked inside to check on his mother. He came back and said, "She's asleep." "I'll go check it out," I said, "and I'll call if it's anything important." Mr. Urey's street was alive with the red and blue lights of a dozen police cars. Traffic was heavy as the other curious fought to get near the scene. I saw Buster's car parked in a shallow ditch, and when I found him a few minutes later, he told me the story. "Couple of kids," he said. I found it funny, but I was in the distinct minority.